Good morning. My name is Katie Hawkins, and I am the chair of the Boating and Waterways Commission. I want to welcome you all to Long Beach, California. I call to order the November 7, 2024 commission meeting. The meeting is held at the Hyatt Regency in Long Beach, California, as well as virtually on Zoom. We are grateful to partner with the Marine Recreation Association to hold this meeting in conjunction with the annual conference so that more of our constituents members can participate with the Boating and Waterways Commissions. Constituents who cannot be here in person can participate in Zoom. Instructions will be provided shortly. As a reminder to everyone, this meeting is live webcast and can be viewed at www.cal-span.org. The archive video will also be available at cal-span.org website. Before we get started today with today's agenda, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Next, agenda item one. I'd like to ask the clerk to take the roll call for the commission, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In roll call, Catherine Hawkins, Chair from Truckee, California.
Present.
Tom Peer, Vice Chair from San Francisco.
Present.
Jose Gonzalez, Commissioner from Sacramento.
Present.
Maggie Hallahan, Commissioner from San Francisco.
Present.
Thank you. Madam Chair, we have four and we do have a quorum.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, let's just pause then for a moment. Okay, excellent. Thank you. We'll now move on to agenda item number two. Will the clerk now read the instructions regarding public comment on the agenda and non-agenda items via Zoom?
Thank you, Madam Chair Hawkins. I will provide some information on how participation will be organized for today's Boating and Waterways Commission meeting. First, I will cover the in-person meeting protocols. In order to provide comments on agenda items in person, members of the public are requested to fill out the green public form, which is in the back of the room. In order to provide comments on non-agenda items in person, members of the public are requested to fill out the blue public comment forms, also in the back of the room. Each speaker will have 3 minutes to present their comments. Members of the public are not required to provide their names. However, stating it would be easier for staff to contact members of the public for any follow-up if necessary. Individual speakers may not pool their comments under one person to obtain a longer comment period. Both public comment forms are available at the sign-in table. All completed forms should be turned in to me. Distribution of documents to the commissioner. If a speaker wishes to distribute documents to the commission, they must provide the required 4 copies and additional copies for public viewing. In future hearings, if documents are submitted by email, please submit no later than 10 calendar days prior to the meeting of the and the copies will be included in the agenda packet provided to the commissioners the day of the hearing. When a speaker's name is called during public comment period, the speaker must hand the documents to me and then I will distribute to the commission. Now I will cover the procedures using Zoom. If you wish to make a verbal comment on one of the agenda items or you want to make a comment during the items not on the agenda, you must use the Zoom webinar app or call in by phone. The commission will hear public comments from in-person attendees first and then hear public comments from attendees on Zoom. If you're currently watching the webcast on calspan.org, but you want to make a public comment, please register the Zoom webinar to receive your unique ID and password or a phone number and wish to call in. Information can be found on the notice agenda or dbw.parks.ca.gov. To make public comments on agenda items, please virtually raise your hand at the beginning of the presentation to let us know you wish to speak to do this. If you're using a computer or tablet, use the raise hand button in the Zoom webinar app, or if you're calling in by phone, dial *9 to raise your hand. and then dial *6 to unmute your device when you're called upon. When the public comment period starts, the order of commenters will be determined by the registration list and then who raises their hand first. I will call each commenter by name, and our video agency will unmute your device. For members of the public that call in, you will be identified by the last three digits of your phone number. We will not show a list of commentators' names. However, I will announce them three at a time so you will know who is coming up next, and commentators in the queue can be ready to comment in there when it's their turn. If you appear by video when you make your comments, I would like to remind everyone, commentators, commission members, and staff, to please state your name for the record before you speak. It is especially important in this virtual meeting because outside video options will not be available to everyone. When you're making your public comment, you will see a timer on the screen. For those calling in by phone, you will have the, we will run the timer and let you know when you have 30 seconds remaining to, when your time is up. I would also like to give a friendly reminder to our commission members and staff to please mute yourself when you are not speaking to avoid background noise. When you do speak, please speak from a quiet location. Additionally, if you need to make adjustments or step away from your computer, please turn off your camera. If you experience any technical difficulties, please call or text to area code 805-801-3676 or email to it@agpvideo.com so an IT person can assist you. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Karina. At this time, we would like to acknowledge any local dignitaries, and I don't think we have anyone present, so I will just move on to our staff. I'd like to introduce Ramona Fernandez, our Deputy Director of the Division of Boating and Waterways. We also have Liz McGurk, Chief Deputy Director of California State Parks, and then Catherine Tobias, Senior Legal Counsel at California State Parks. Okay. So moving on, one of the opportunities that we have here as a commission is to give an update to the community on our activities for since our last commission meeting. Some of us just saw each other about 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, so I'll be interested to see where everyone has been out and about within the community. I will save my report to the end, but I'd like to pass it over to my fellow commissioners. So I'll start with Commissioner Hallahan.
Thank you, Chair Hawkins. I am going to speak more at the end about a conclusion, but I did speak with Jerry Desmond and Bo Billard regarding how they have done work in 2022 and 2023 and how that work was utilized with our department's budget of 24-25, but I can speak about it later.
I think I'm just looking over at council. I think we would want to hear that whatever your report is right now. Is that correct, Catherine?
If you're just making a report as a commissioner, then you should go ahead and do it now.
Okay. What if I want to create an action from that, from what I've been speaking with them about?
So then you would basically turn to the chair and ask her to ask the deputy director to effectuate that action. So you're going to basically, as a commissioner, you're going to make a request of the chair that, or the deputy director, depending on kind of what it uh-huh. is that you want to do, and then that'll have to come back to another meeting because you can't hear it today. Does that make sense? And the reason you can't hear it today, just because I know we have a lot of people here who don't usually attend this, is that any action that the commission takes has to be noticed by law 2 weeks in advance, 10 days in advance. So what you're going to be doing is asking to have something come back at the next meeting, I assume, so that it can be calendared and then the commission can take a vote on it. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
Feel free to ask any other questions. I know you're a relatively new commissioner.
At the very end, you suggest.
So I'll just raise it at the very end then.
At the very end of what?
Of this under agenda items?
Agenda item 11, right?
Oh, okay. That would be.
Agenda items number
11. That'd be a great place to do it.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that I have followed up on a comment from the last meeting, and I'm going to bring it up at the end of the meeting
in
agenda number 11.
That would be fine.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Commissioner Pierre.
Welcome, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here and to be among all the Marine Recreational Association folks, and good to see all of you once again. First of all, I want to just really appreciate the fact that the cover on the agenda for today is Balboa Island. So this is taken from the bridge going to Trout, and this is right, this circle right here is where I actually was born. In 1962, I lived there between 1962 and 1965. So I readily recognize that photo, and I don't know who is responsible for this, regardless. So in terms of my activities in the community, which I think is sort of the agenda item here, I just want to share with everyone that I am now in a full-time advanced law degree program at Tulane University in Admiralty and Maritime Matters. So if anyone has questions on such arcana as the Clean Water Act, the Oil Pollution Act, the Comprehensive Environmental Compensation Liability Act, the Jones Act, the Carriage of Goods by Sea Act, the Limitations of Liability Act, generally the Harder Act, et cetera, marine insurance. I'm willing to give my, what's the phrase we use here? Advise and comment. And counsel is actually giving me the cross the throat gesture, which I'm not sure is why, but I think it is very pertinent to the work of this commission that people know that they have another resource should they seek it. And with that, I'll end.
Okay. Commissioner Gonzalez.
Thank you, Chair. Very briefly, it is great to be here, and I appreciate the invitation and the opportunity to be here kind of in conjunction with this event. Two things are, one is, I know last time we were in person as a commission, we were up in Northern California, and that item is on our agenda today, so I'm looking forward to kind of discussing about that. As a reminder of just, I think the chair mentioned this in opening remarks earlier today, but it's like all corners of the state. So we value all the input that comes from particular areas and regions and how they are really connected to the work of both the division and the commission across the state. And closing that with, I remember last time we were here on a site visit as well. And so I took the opportunity this morning as I was jogging just across the waterway looking at that boat launch and ramp, and it's just those little reminders of kind of like both that the commission's, the divisions really, but really the commission's work is everywhere. And so just value that input and opportunity and another really good physical reminder of the work. So thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Commissioner Gonzalez. I would say, from a chair's perspective, we were all together last month in Colusa County, and I'm excited to review the proposal that's going to be in front of us. And again, it just underscores the importance of this commission and the work that we're doing in communities that really could use the resource and capacity that we are providing to help uplift and bolster these rural communities, but also to come down here and share it with this this organization, the Marine Recreation Association, about the great work that you all are doing, and to be in this like beautiful venue and this beautiful conference with all of you, and just sharing like again the need for investment in outdoor recreation and everything that you all are doing and the importance of what you're doing in your communities. And so, as I said in my opening remarks, we really have been in every corner of the state, and it's just, again, it gives us a lot of confidence to be here and to be part of this group and receive your input and feedback and bring it to leadership. So I just want to applaud everyone in the room and thank you for taking the time for being to be with us. So that's pretty much it, because we were just together not that long ago. So with that, again, moving along, I'd like to hand it over to Deputy Director Ramona Fernandez for her report.
Thank you, Chair Hawkins. And again, echo the comments that were made from the commission on welcoming us as being part of the Marine Recreation Association. My first item I just wanted to bring to the attention of the commission was the triennial report. I know that it was emailed to all of you several weeks back, and I didn't receive any feedback from any of you, so I just want to make sure that we're good with finalizing this document, the report. I've seen everyone saying yes, so then this report, it's draft, it will now become final, a final document and available to the public on our website. And then as Chair Hawkins mentioned, we were just with each other probably 4 weeks ago, so not a whole lot of update. I do have one update, if the PowerPoint can come up, please. So again, I just, again, thanking, being part of the Marine Recreation Association this morning, I know that the commission has had the opportunity in prior years to participate in them, in the conference as a professional development day, but, you know, being part of it, I think, was beneficial as with our audience that we see here today, so it's been great. The second slide, please. And then I just wanted to report to the commission last week of October, a golden mussel and an invasive non-native freshwater invasive was discovered in the Port of Stockton by the Department of Water Resources. It was confirmed that it is the golden mussel. At first, it was uncertain. Department of Fish and Wildlife has taken the lead on next steps on this. There will be a task force with the Department of Parks and Rec. Boating will be part of those discussions, as well as our Chief Deputy Director, Liz, and the Department of Fish and Wildlife, the Department of Water Resources, I think the Bureau of Reclamation. There'll be several federal and state entities on next steps of this. As seen on the screen, this invasive looks very similar to the quagga and zebra mussel, and as you all know, that we have a prevention grant program already established for the quagga and zebra mussel. So we're more to come on that. We'll continue to update the commission on monitoring and what that would mean for recreational boaters. Next slide, please. And that completes my presentation. Chair Hawkins, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Ramona. Next, moving right along, we will now hear public comments for this item, agenda item. So with that, I'll go to the green cards, Karina. And first, I want to welcome David Kennedy from Springfield, Virginia. David.
Good morning. So I'm David Kennedy with Boat US, the Boat Owners Association in the United States. We're the national association for individual boat owners. We've got over 700,000 members nationwide, of which about 70,000 are here in California. We partner with the Recreational Boaters of California on working on these issues. I think RBSA is going to elaborate on this more, but thinking about the recommendations that are coming from the boating industry and working with MRA about how we approach the budget going forward is going to continue to be a priority for our membership, and carefully reviewing how that is and how what the programs are and how what fees are put in place is going to be something that we're going to really look to the commission to help guide the state on making sure that the boaters' funds are used effectively and go to the places that benefit them. So thank you, appreciate the opportunity to comment. So.
Great, thank you, David. Next, I'd like to welcome Jerry Desmond up.
Good
Thank you, David.
Jerry Desmond, on behalf of Recreational Boaters at California RBOC, a statewide advocacy organization formed in 1968 to advocate and promote for reasonable use of the waterways and access to the waterways. And it was hinted at by David Kennedy, our national advocacy partner with BoatUS. And I've been zooming into a number of these commission meetings over the last couple of years. And maybe it comes closer to a point as we're at the fall of 2024 and starting 2025, when the governor will announce his budget proposal for fiscal year 25-26. And what David mentioned, and I think we would like to emphasize, is the 2021-2022 comprehensive stakeholder involvement with the leadership of the division and the commissioners, especially Commissioners Peer and Hawkins here, on developing specific recommendations to address the ongoing structural deficit in the Harbors and Watercraft Revolving Fund. And that stakeholder process resulted in the November 2022 commission meeting, where each of the lead commissioners submitted to the commission, to the division, and really to the Department of Parks and Recreation, a series of recommendations, comprehensive recommendations, that were intended to address the issue of, in addressing the a $20 million annual budget deficit, structural deficit, where can there be revisions to programs and services to enhance what you are all trying to accomplish and the division is trying to accomplish? Where can efficiencies be obtained? And then what revenues are necessary for that? As we look at a wonderful triennial report on the activities of the division in 20 and 2020, there's no mention of it. And I think there is maybe one, I haven't seen a reference to any of the specific recommendations or what those recommendations have resulted in terms of new programs. We see a, and we have talked in the past about other partners in invasive species, and that is happening. But what does that do to the budget, and what does that mean in terms of a structural deficit going forward? Is it now down to 15? Moving beach erosion control away from DBW and over to other, you know, as a statewide emergency effort to deal with climate change, what impact does that have? So we would like to reemphasize the tremendous work product of those stakeholder processes and the recommendations that were given. And we really urge consideration and we offer our engagement before that budget proposal comes out in January. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Okay. Okay, I wanna bring it back. Do any of the commissioners have any questions for the deputy director before we move on? Okay.
The discovery of a golden mussel in the Delta, it's, you know, I sort of view it as like you're never a little bit pregnant. And so that discovery just means that we have another invasive. Yeah, what I'm trying to convey is that we now have another invasive species in the Delta, and there is going to be a budgetary constraint associated with that in the future. And I just want to make sure there's a recognition that, you know, like I said, you're never a little bit pregnant. You got one golden mussel, you know, you got golden mussels in the Delta, and this is going to be a long-term budgetary constraint on both the division and probably, hopefully, on other, as Jerry was just saying, on other stakeholders in the water on the Delta. So I'm just trying to make that point, and, you know, I think I would suggest that we try to get ahead of that foreseeable budgetary issue now and really emphasize to whatever legislators care about such things that there's a real awareness of that problem. So that's all I'm saying. That's just a comment more than a question.
Yeah, and I'll just kind of comment on that as well. So the goal of Friday's meeting with the leadership of each of those resources agencies will be addressing what you're talking about, are, I think, and understanding really our role in all of this, because it is the lead agency in this is the Department of Fish and Wildlife. It is not a public meeting, no.
Thank you, Ramona. Okay. At this time, we will hear public comments for items not on the agenda. Each member of the public will have 3 minutes to make his or her comments. I do have a blue comment card. And Karina, are there any hands raised on Zoom?
Madam Chair, I do not see any hands raised on Zoom.
Okay. So for the blue comment card, I'd like to welcome Mark Smith up.
Testing. See, we do learn. Madam Chairwoman, members of the Commission, staff, Mark Smith on behalf of the National Marine Manufacturers Association. Actually, probably could have put the card in along with Jerry, but Liz, I'm glad you're back, so we can talk about this while you're in the room. And I'm going to reiterate a couple of the things that Jerry said. We are very concerned with the state of the Harbor and Watercraft Revolving Fund. It's a process that we've dedicated ourselves to as partners, working with the department and the division and the commission over the past several years. Again, as Jerry mentioned, you were very welcoming of bringing the stakeholders to the table in a collaborative public process to talk about solutions to this ongoing issue. We managed to put it on the back burner with some general fund revenues, which unfortunately are going to run out this year. And I think we as stakeholders across the boating industry and working in conjunction with you commissioners who sat on those individual groups and staff members came up with a series of proposals, revenue enhancements, funding shifts, other solutions that we think provide a comprehensive solution to this problem. Where I'm going to get very specific now is the partnership has not been extended past the stakeholder working group. And when I say that, I'm specifically referring to the proposals that have come out of that stakeholder process or specifically have not come out of that stakeholder process. And the way that we work the budget in conjunction with the governor and the Department of Finance and the budget process on an annual basis. I think we were hoping that the stakeholder process would lend itself to a proposal that would come forward in the budget that we could all sort of agree to, a loose framework. Instead, what we've seen is a budget proposal that comes at us at times, sometimes with less than 3 weeks to actually engage, to review the proposal, to talk to the legislature, to have those difficult conversations. And they have been difficult. And Ramona and Liz have been put in the hot seat by the legislature about those proposals, and they have not moved forward. We want to solve this problem, but we want to solve it collaboratively, and we want to solve it in a transparent manner. And I think the way that the Department of Finance has approached it to date is not the best way to do that. So, in short, what I'm asking for is a little bit more transparency around any proposals that the governor's office might put forward, that parks might be working on with the governor's office. We don't want to be surprised by something in a January budget. We don't want to be surprised with 3 weeks to go right after the May revise comes out. We want to be partners at the table like we were during the stakeholder process to fix this problem once and for all and to move forward for the benefit of all boaters. So I can see I'm almost out of time, but again, I appreciate the opportunity. Appreciate you allowing me to be a little direct. I know that sometimes these issues are out of your direct control, but asking again to be partners with you in this process. Thank you.
Great, Mark, and thank you. And I know that we'll have an opportunity for non-agenda items later, and so we can discuss further. At this time, we're kind of cruising along here. I wanted to see if there was any other public comments.
Madam Chair, there's no additional public comment.
I am formally closing the public comment. We are, again, ahead of schedule. I want to look to council, should we continue to move through the agenda?
Again, the nod from leadership that we should just move forward. So we will. Okay. All right. Okay. So we will move on to agenda number eight. And we will now hear from department staff. And I want to welcome up Joe Dukes on the division proposal to provide grant funding for the East Park Reservoir boat launch. And to remind the commissioners and inform the public, the commission conducted a tour of this project on our October 1st commission meeting in Colusa County. Joe, come on up.
Good morning, Madam Chair Hopkins, commissioners, Chief Deputy Director McGurk, Deputy Director Fernandez, Council Tobias, and everyone attending with the Grants and Loans Unit. And I'll give a minute for them to put my slides up.
Joe, we're having a little bit of feedback there, so just keep, we'll keep working through it.
Okay.
Okay, can you speak a little closer to your mic, please, Joe?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, I am presenting the Bureau of Reclamation's request for a $2 million Waterways Connection Initiative funding contract to construct in 2018 planning grant from the Harbors and Watercraft Revolving Fund to the Bureau to design the project, and project designs are complete. We are now ready to move to the construction phase. And online representing the Bureau is Amy Holland, project manager. We are here to seek the commission's advice and comment on this proposed project. I believe that's the feasibility report. Can you put the slides up, HEP?
Sorry, the slides are missing from AGP's data. Would it be possible to flip ahead to the beach nourishment program while they get the appropriate slides for East Park?
Yes. So go on to the division reports then?
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
Excellent.
For the beach nourishment, Casey Caldwell.
Yes, sorry, I will move on to that and we'll come back to Joe. So let's hear from Casey Caldwell and we'll talk about the Shoreline Erosion and Beach Restoration Grant Program.
Yes, good morning, Madam Chair. I'll wait for the slides to come up for that.
Excellent, thank you.
Of course, excellent. All right, good morning, Madam Chair and everyone attending today. My name is Casey Caldwell of DBW staff. And today I'll provide a brief update on DBW's coastal erosion control programs. DBW administers two programs that can provide local assistance grants to address coastal erosion issues statewide. Under statute and executive order, since 1970, DBW has been the state entity with primary responsibility for shoreline maintenance and erosion control. As part of this responsibility, we provide financial and technical assistance to state, federal, and local agencies to both study erosion problems that affect public interests and to implement cost-effective solutions that address these problems. In relation to DBW's mission, our coastal erosion control programs promote safe public access to the state's ocean and bay waterways. They also help to mitigate the disruptive effects of shoreline development on natural coastal processes. I'll discuss the Public Beach Restoration Program first. And per the Harbors and Navigation Code, projects funded through this program must involve the cost-effective engineered placement of sand on the beach or in the near shore environment. DBW's primary objectives in administering this program are to promote public safety at the shoreline and, relatedly, to protect critical public infrastructure such as buildings, roadways, and utilities from damage and risks associated with beach erosion. The picture on the slide shows sand placement in progress this past winter in the city of Solana Beach, about 20 miles north of San Diego. What you see there is a bulldozer on the left that's moving sand that's being pumped from an offshore dredge under the beach through a pipe on the right. The Army Corps of Engineers led a $38 million project to widen about 3 miles of beaches in Solana Beach and its northern neighbor, City of Encinitas. Construction was completed this past April. Slide, please. To illustrate how impactful these projects can be in terms of adding beach width,
Shown here are before and after photographs of the shoreline just south of Moonlight Beach in the city of Encinitas. Both pictures were taken from the same location around the same time in the early spring. The one on the left a couple of years ago, and the one on the right this past spring right after construction. In Encinitas, the Army Corps' contractor placed 340,000 cubic yards of sand to widen a mile and a half of its beach by 50 feet. This widened beach will significantly slow cliff erosion behind the beach. It will protect public infrastructure behind the beach as well as safe public access to the beach itself. The widened beach reduces the likelihood of cliff collapses that can result when ocean waves repeatedly contact and erode the bottoms of those cliffs. Slide, please. Looking at the program budget and update, the state's current fiscal year budget contains no new funding for public beach restoration program projects. For many years, the Harbors and Watercraft Revolving Fund supported many of DBW's coastal erosion control projects, but DBW has not funded any new program projects through the Revolving Fund since the 2019 budget. And it's DBW's intention to continue requiring other funding sources besides the Revolving Fund to support program projects going forward. There are currently 7 projects in progress under this program. Many of these projects are multi-phase, long-term projects that are led and primarily funded by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. I'm going to talk more about 3 of these projects in a minute, because despite the lack of new funding this year, last winter was a busy winter of beach restoration under this program. Grant applications for the next cycle of funding for fiscal year 26-27 are currently being accepted for this program, and this is a 2-step process. The first step is for the potential applicant agency to submit a letter of intent to DBW by Monday, December 16th. This letter will share basic details about the project that will allow DBW to determine whether a proposed project would be eligible for funding through this program. For agencies to describe eligible projects in their letters of intent, DBW will accept full applications through our online grant application until Monday, February 3rd. This deadline is to apply for funding that would be available in fiscal year 26-27, about 17 months later. This program doesn't have a dedicated source of state funding, and projects must be funded individually in each year's state budget. Slide, please. So as I just mentioned, 3 major projects under this program were under construction last winter. All these projects were led by the Army Corps of Engineers, and all 3 involved local funding contributions as required by statute. This slide summarizes funding for $76 million in combined federal, state, and local funding for construction of these projects. The dollars you're seeing here only account for the construction phase of work, not for past expenditures on design and engineering, permits, environmental compliance, feasibility studies, and so on. And the state dollars shown here were primarily provided from the state's general fund. The Orange County project listed first began in the 1960s and has periodically been redone in stages about every 5 to 10 years, protecting about 15 miles of shoreline. The San Clemente and San Diego projects are authorized in federal law for periodic future enrichments as well, contingent on future funding authorizations. Slide, please. So now the second and final program I'll present today. Since 1970, DBW has administered the state's Shoreline Erosion Control Program. The primary purposes of this program are to study problems of coastal erosion and to construct projects to stabilize beaches and shoreline areas. Stabilization of shores and beaches can be accomplished by implementing soft solutions like dune planting or beach restoration, or through strategically building hard structures like seawalls or groins or breakwaters, or some combination of soft and hard features. Both types of projects can be funded through this program. The picture on the slide is of a seawall constructed in the city of Pismo Beach several years ago. DBW contributed about $900,000 in local assistance grant funding to this project, which was led by the Army Corps of Engineers, which cost about $5 million total. The seawall protects the sewer lift station and other utilities and infrastructure, and it incorporates a stairway that facilitates public access to the coastline by the wall. Slide, please. And my last slide, looking at this program's project, program budget and update. No new projects under this program were funded in the state's fiscal year 24-25 budget. One project funded through this program and led by the Army Corps of Engineers is almost complete. And as with the Public Beach Restoration Program, DBW has not funded any new program projects through the Revolving Fund since the 2019 budget. And again, it's DBW's intention to continue requiring funding sources besides the Revolving Fund for this program going forward. And as with the Public Beach Restoration Program, a new grant application window for this program is currently open without letter of intent required by December 16th and the full application by February 3rd.
Madam Chair, are there any questions or comments about DBW's coastal erosion control programs?
Thank you, Casey. At this time, I would like to see if there was any public comment for Casey's presentation.
No public comment.
Okay, thank you, Karina. Do any of my fellow commissioners have any public or any comment at this time?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Casey, I guess this goes back to the stakeholder process that we engaged in several years ago, and during that process, there was given a better historical understanding of why DBW division, now I guess it was the Department of Boating Ways when all of this started, now it's a division, got engaged in this beach erosion. And I think the historical perspective was that because boaters benefited from the creation of marinas and harbors and development thereof, that they should also bear the burden of beach erosion that results from that. And part of the stakeholder process was to sort of get a better understanding that there are other factors at work in what we now are seeing, a different level of beach erosion, replenishment, and so forth. So I guess this, again, is kind of a comment and not really a question, but, you know, I'm not really sure what harbor there is north of San Diego, Encinitas, that would be resulting in this beach erosion. I guess that's the question. Can you, is that Carlsbad Marina? Do I have that right? Or Casey, that's to you.
No, I appreciate the question, Commissioner. And I think there's kind of a broader question here where different locations have different drivers of erosion at each individual location. So I don't really feel like I should comment on which specific harbors would be driving erosion at specific areas that are currently being reconstructed, because there are different drivers that all kind of feed into this. And as far as the broader question about responsibility for DBW to be the agency that takes care of this, I'd respectfully invite my management to comment on kind of the bigger picture. I wasn't part of the stakeholder process, but they were. So if there was anything that they might want to share on that, I'd invite them to do so.
Karen's getting up, which is always a problem.
Hi, good morning, Commission and MRA. We're grateful to be here. My name is Karen Dill. I am the Chief of Grants and Loans for the Division of Boating and Waterways, and I also oversee the grant programs that are being presented here, including the Beach Nourishment and Erosion Program. What gives us authority or responsibility right now is statute. Statutorily, the division is responsible for these programs, but the programs and the projects in Encinitas and San Clemente, those were funded by general fund dollars. So while boaters did not fund those projects, we did originally with some engineering and design before the 2019 collaboration, the ad hoc meetings came into pass, and we got the stakeholder input. But all of the funding for construction of those projects was funded by the general fund and not by boater dollars.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear. And I guess just sort of moving forward, you know, I sort of get this sense there's this sort of status quo that's sort of been in place historically. You know, I appreciate that this came out of the general fund, and that's frankly where I think it should come out of. And, you know, but that's my opinion as a commissioner. While I got you on the hot seat, but you don't really get too much heat, I don't understand what this sentence means. 50% by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, okay, with the state paying up to 50% of the cost of the local sponsors required 50% project cost share for construction. Can you just parse that for me? I don't understand who's paying. I get the Army Corps of Engineers. That's fine. Uh-huh. And then you got the state paying up to 50%, but the local sponsor is, I don't get it. Can you just mind working through that for me?
Yeah, that's federal language. For federal government participation, they require that anyone on the local level provide a portion. So for in this instance, so the federal government would pay 50%, and then the locals, people here in California, would pay the balance. State law says that we can provide 50% of the local share. So which would be essentially 25% of the total project cost in that instance. So we would not be the local on a typical federal project. A city or a county would be the local partner on behalf of the feds. But we could come in to support the local with state funding. So, yeah, does that make sense?
No, but no. That's, I'm good with that.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I just again, you know, I mean, frankly, I don't understand, and I've never understood how this has ended up with the Division of Boating Waterways. Yeah. I mean, this seems like a state lands, and they should be the people that are dealing with this and not boaters, right, and taking up division resources on these issues. But, you know, that's why I say sort of addressing the status quo, which mm-hmm. is what we're looking at now, mm-hmm. moving forward, mm-hmm. might be a good alternative. But, again, that's a larger legislative matter that we're not going to resolve here. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you.
I think. Oh, I apologize. Commissioner Hallahan.
Hi. Could I ask you a quick question? Army Corps of Engineers decides where they're going to do beach nourishment by how much use or the value of that property. How does our commission or our state funds lean into that? Is it all based on tourist dollars or municipalities that have a lot of worth of the property? I'm just looking for inequity areas that, you know, Army Corps doesn't reach out to. I'm just wondering, how do we have to statute around that, or we just follow whatever the Army Corps is already doing?
So we have our programmatic authorities, which are, we have our application and our scoring and ranking. All of that is available online. But part of statute is that says that if the federal government is part of a project, then it will be our, I can't remember the exact language, but it will be our intention to work with them on projects that they're federally funded. When they're projects that are federally funded, they include demographics. They include if there are a lot of homes around there that would be harmed from a FEMA perspective. Mm-hmm. If a natural disaster happened and took out, then the costs for restoring those homes and those communities are taken into effect as kind of a preventative measure on behalf of the federal government, including in the federal government's analysis is recreational value, and recreational value for all users, whatever equity status or economic status they have. So when a federal government looks at it, they have all of their criteria, and because they partner, then the state is encouraged to partner as well in statute, as long as we have a funding source. From state's funding perspective, aside from the federal government, we look at primarily infrastructure and safety, which is the guidance from state policy and all of the different agencies, which is if people are going to be harmed by a natural disaster or erosion, or if infrastructure that we have invested in is going to be catastrophically destroyed by this, then that's a large impetus for state participation and what we would move forward for potential funding. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay.
I have one other question for Casey. Are you still there? Thank you so much, Karen. Are you still there? Hello.
Commissioner.
Oh, okay. So there was a photo that you showed of the ocean level in Ensenada Beach before and after and you said it was the same time of year. As a mariner, I would like more specifics. I've seen this in a lot of photos taken, proof of work, is that you make clear the tide time and, you know, when it was photographed and what the tide level was at.
Of course.
You know, it'd be really easy to see that, and you could put it with the photograph so people can see that. Thank you.
Sure, absolutely, Commissioner.
Casey, thank you so much for your presentation. I'm just looking back. Do we want to go back to the original agenda item with Joe Dukes, or are we set up? Yep. Joe, I'd like to welcome you back.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was told that there was some static with my connection, so I'm going to keep my video off for now. And then I'll wait for the slides to come up.
The other one, not the feasibility.
Thanks for everyone's patience while we work this out.
There he is, okay. So hello again, my name is Joe Dukes, DPW staff. I am presenting the Bureau of Reclamation's request for a $2 million Waterways Connection Initiative funding contract to construct a boat launching facility at the East Park Reservoir. In 2018, the Commission approved to the Bureau a $150,000 planning grant from the Harbors and Watercraft Revolving Fund. Project designs were completed and we are ready to move on to construction. Representing the Bureau is Amy Holland, project manager with the Bureau, and we are here to seek the Commission's advice and comment on this proposed project. Next slide. We are proposing to use the Waterways Connection Initiative money to fund this project. This funding is from the SB 170 Budget Act in fiscal year 2021-22. DPW was allocated $10 million from the four boat launching facility projects that fit the funding criteria to expand inland waterway related outdoor access to communities exceeding a population of 2,500 near inland waterways who lack meaningful connection to nature. The proposed project fits the funding criteria and will provide the opportunity for connection to the communities of Calusa, Willows, and Maxwell. And we must encumber funds by June 30, 2027. Next slide. The East Park Reservoir is located in Northern California in the northwestern portion of Calusa County, approximately 89 miles northwest of Sacramento. The commission did visit the East Park Reservoir as part of the October 1st meeting, as you previously mentioned. Next slide. The Bureau owns the East Park Dam and the Orland Unit Water Users Association, a nonprofit corporation, operates and maintains the reservoir to provide irrigation to landowners with water rights. And Calusa County manages the recreational facilities at the reservoir. Calusa County currently charges an $8 fee per vehicle for day use, which includes entry, parking, and boat launching. The county does not plan to increase the fees after construction is completed. Next slide. The current site features an unpaved gravel access road that leads to a primitive launching access made from a gravel slope cut into the shoreline and a two-unit boat restroom that was recently funded by the Bureau. Next slide. The gravel road is not passable year-round due to muddy conditions during the winter months. The county plans to pave the access road once the boat launch ramp is complete, allowing year-round access. Next slide. Vessels launching at this site can be difficult during wet conditions. There is a significant barrier to boaters without robust vehicles with high traction tires as they can lose traction on loose dirt. The facility is not accessible to those with disabilities and only able-bodied people can get into their boats after launching because the facility does not have boarding floats to assist. Next slide. There are currently no designated parking areas for boaters. Next slide. The Bureau recently added the accessible vault restroom, which is located on the south side of the peninsula. Next slide. The construction plans are 100% complete. Project improvements includes a new single lane V-groove concrete ramp, cable guided boarding floats, asphalt parking with accessible path of travel, solar lighting at the top of the ramp, and project signage. The Bureau is now required to determine if the project area typically experiences frequent use by a non-English speaking population, and if so, must also provide signage in the local predominant non-English languages. Next slide. The total estimated project cost is $2 million. The table includes a 10% construction contingency reserved for any unforeseen situations that may occur during the construction process. And due to the recent extreme escalation in construction costs in California, it is difficult to establish an accurate estimate of construction costs. Therefore, DPW added a construction variance line item to mitigate this uncertainty. Next slide. We estimate that 7,350 boaters are going to benefit from the improvements annually. Over 147,000 boaters would benefit from the improvements for the 20-year life of the improvements. And DPW analysis established that a benefit cost ratio exceeding one is worthy from a for consideration from a financial perspective. And the benefit cost ratio for this project is a 2.24. Next slide. At this time, DPW seeks the advice and comment on this proposed $2 million WCI funding to the Bureau of Reclamation's for the construction of the East Park Reservoir boat launching facility, as described in the October 1st, 2024 feasibility report. Next slide. This concludes my presentation. My contact information is provided on slide. Madam Chair, are there any questions?
Thank you, Joe, for your presentation. I want to see, do we have any public comment cards for this project? Okay.
Madam Chair, no public comment.
Okay, thanks, Karina. And then I'll look to my fellow commissioners to provide comment. Here, I'll start here with Commissioner Gonzalez.
Thank you, Chair. Got a couple comments and then a question. So first, thank you. I had the benefit of being kind of the in-person visit to the East Park Reservoir. You know, it's out there. Like, to drive out there is because you are going out to a rural county, to like that rural part of Colusa, meaning that it's not just off of an interstate. Like, you really have to be out there. And I think that one of the great things that came out of that is its high usage. It is another, to me, excellent example of a rural county that both kind of recognizes the value of having this type of access, recreational access. And part of that was demonstrated on that site visit by the county supervisors also being there. And even though this is a, you know, it's all Bureau of Reclamation, even though this is a federal agency that kind of manages that aspects of it, being able to hear the commitment from the county supervisors about the funding they provide, again, it's not like they have a lot of other things that they need to like consider funding for, but yet years ago that they themselves said, this is important for our community, we're willing to be a partner in this. So I wanted to note that, right, because we often talk about the different layers of governments and agencies that come in to provide this type of access. It isn't just one entity, it isn't just one layer. And so that was pretty powerful, as well as to the variety of recreational opportunities that were there for the boating and waterways, but also camping. Also, they have festivals out there, they have concerts, like all of these things that I would never have thought would be present there. And then the last one, which leads me to a question, was one of the things was, for example, I know in the report here, it says, like, for example, the communities of, I always get Williams and Willows confused, but in that region, and yet one of the things that we heard was that this was another example of a reservoir that actually gets usage from all types of areas that you would not expect, that it isn't just county residents, for example, coming over. They were talking about Bay Area usage all the way down, up and down the Central Valley usage, and so, which is fantastic. I think we often keep hearing that a lot, the value of some of these investments. So, and also that that's acknowledged, I always look at that benefit-cost ratio, and the fact that this is above 2, when a lot of the times it's like what we're looking at for around 1. But my question then regarding that is, in terms of the numbers of, like, voters, for example, that would benefit and the like, do you know, does that account for, or does that, is there an input for that in terms of beyond the county region? Does it, I guess I'm looking for is, like, does that count some of the usage that we heard in terms of, like, from the Bay Area and places as far down the Central Valley as, like, Modesto? Or is it mostly focused, as far as you know, on kind of those closer communities that are part of the requirements for the grant? Let me know the question.
Okay, I'd like to defer that to Amy Holland or Mike, if you're available to answer that.
Hi, this is Amy Holland from the Northern California Area Office of the Bureau of Reclamation. I'm the project manager for this project, and to get that information, I was actually coordinating with Rich Robertson, who used to work in our office, but he has since retired. So I'm going to let Mike, or actually Rich's replacement, Jake Behrens, answer that about the users for the lake.
Thanks, Amy. This is Mike Azevedo, Public Works Director here at Colusa County. And given that information, yes, Commissioner Gonzalez, those numbers would reflect the broader use statewide.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It wasn't intended to be a trick question. And it's great to hear from both of you that there. I think I just really want to stress that recognition that often we think we're investing in one area and just to serve, quote unquote, local population, but it's always inclusive of that and beyond that. So that's it for me.
Okay, excellent. Is there any other comments from my fellow commissioners?
Thank you, Madam Chair. That was one of my questions, because I'm seeing here on, well, page 3 of the agenda that motorized launches are approximately 2,000. And I guess now we refer to these things as unique users. And so presumably there's no metrics. I mean, is this the same 200 people going out 10 times each year? But it sounds like we don't have that metric, right? We don't know who these people are, because it's, you know, like $2 million if it's helping the local guys go out there all the time, every weekend, fishing, then, you know, that seems a little problematic to me, but it sounds like there's no answer to that question. The second, I think, sort of a broader question I had, it seems like this project has been canceled twice, and it's been going on now for a good, since 1978. So can, I don't know if this is Joe, can you give us some background on, or Karen's getting up again, which is always great. I just, what's going on? It's, I mean, this has been going on forever. And yeah. Why was it canceled twice previously?
Usually it has to do with, and I, of course I wasn't there in the 70s when this happened, but.
I was.
In the past, there have been either funding or staffing issues with the Bureau of Reclamation, where we would give funding to the Bureau, but they could not mobilize either with engineering or permitting, or there was something in the their administration that kept them from moving forward. We can only fund; we can't make them them move. So we know the importance of this water body and the importance of boaters accessing this water body. So we want to continue working with them. And right now, their administration is fantastic, and they are heavily motivated and heavily invested in providing boating access for the recreational boaters there. So we're pleased to move forward at this time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then my next question. You just kind of have all these moving parts, right? You've got Bureau of Reclamation. You've got the county, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have the water users, right? Mm-hmm. So you have three different parties, mm-hmm. right? And
correct.
Then and the county's collecting the fees. Do I have that right? That's what Joe said, $8 per user. The county collects the fees.
I'm not sure at this point. Bureau, can you or local folks?
Yeah, I can answer. Yeah, this is Amy again. Yes, that is correct. The county collects the fees for that. The Bureau doesn't touch them.
Okay. All right. So, and then the irrigation district collects fees from the water users, right? Who, I don't know who answers that question. You see where I'm driving at here. It's just like, anyways, you know, I'm going to approve the project, frankly, but I'm just, you know, I feel I always say the same sentence in all these commission meetings. I feel like I'm representing the voters public and that I need to make sure where the $2 million is going, if it's going to be helping the county, if the Bureau of Reclamations, you know, all these different guys are getting benefits from the $2 million that we are going to put into this project. So that's a comment and not a question.
Okay.
Commissioner Peer, this is Mike Azevedo with Colusa County again. And I can assure you that as the recreation managing partner, that the benefits derived from this project will come back to the recreating community as that managing partner.
Yeah, I did see that the county was going to do the maintenance on this. Is that correct? The maintenance,
yes.
Once the project is completed?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, great. All right, thank you. Nothing further, as
so,
you say.
Thanks, Karen. Oh, Commissioner Hallahan.
Hello, everybody. I really enjoyed our visit out there to this project, and I had a lot of questions about it, and I thought since I just joined the commission earlier this year, I would do a deeper dive. And I asked the grant department to send me the original documents from 78 and 80s and 90s. And as the county has progressed, they created a nice camping area, and there's a lot of information on social media of different populations going up there with large families and kayaking and boating and using this dirt ramp. And they called it primitive in the presentation, but actually it's how I grew up. Most boat ramps like that were just packed dirt. So this is a reservoir, and I did a lot of research. And in this photograph here, I don't know if any of you are looking at this document, the visual, it says source Earth, Google Earth. On the original document in 2017, it said that this photo was taken in off a screen grab in 2016, and I did notice that there was land erosion just in the 8 years since this photograph, if you go to Google Earth now. But I did have a chance to get on a phone call with the engineers within the park and with the grants department, and they feel pretty confident that the way that it would be compressed and packed, that this project would be good for 25 to 30 years. And as a mariner who introduces boating to a lot of youth, to the younger generation, one of the things that's happening is the younger generation is moving away from the coast, but still wanting water access. And they're going out to the rivers and the lakes. And they need economical ways that aren't very expensive. There's no cell phone out there, so everybody, you could just, the kids can't get online. So you go out there with multiple families. It seems like people pack in 30, 40 family members and just spend 3 or 4 days cooking and doing their thing. And it's a great site for that, to just be safe, flat, easy area. So I highly recommend it as our California population grows to develop places like this that have good infrastructure but still really remote. There's no running water. And for people to be able to just go out and get into the whole concept of boating and camping at the same time in a safe area. So they feel that this area and this land will last at least 25 to 30 years, They have about 40% occupancy of their camping in the prime months. So this county wants more people going out there, and there are no concessions. There's nobody making any money here. It's just get the people out into the wilderness. And as the community moves out into our valleys and remote areas, I think this is an excellent example of using these division monies.
Thank you.
Thanks. I'll hand it over to Commissioner Gonzalez for another comment.
Quick comment and question, and this might be for Karen. Just again to restate and stress the funding source, right? In this case, it's the Waterways Connection Connectivity Initiative. I get them all mixed up. So again, it's another example in which it's kind of like general fund allocations time. So in other words, this is a limited type of a fund source. So this that's primarily what's funding this project.
Correct. Yeah. I'd like to hand it over to Liz McGirt.
Commissioner Gonzalez actually hit on what I was going to say, with just a point of information that the Waterways Connection Initiative was funded with one-time general fund. And so as the commission sees these proposals come through, whenever you see Waterways Connection Initiative, it is general funds and not harbors and watercraft revolving funds.
Joe, this is for you. What is, I mean, I understand generally what construction variance is, but that's $500,000, one quarter of the project cost. So can you, because you've got construction variance, escalation, contingency, I get inspection, but you got almost $750,000 more than, or up to whatever.
Right.
At least a third of the project costs are sort of in these non-enumerated categories. So can you just please describe for the public where,
sure,
what $500,000 for construction variance, escalation, and contingency is? You spoke briefly to escalation, so you don't need to do that again.
Yeah, so construction variance is a safeguard that we put in there because we've been seeing projects across the state going up, you know, 20-30%, sometimes even higher. So that's, no, when we get out to bid, it might not actually be what we had in the 100% cost estimates. It might be higher. So that's a safeguard we put in to make sure the project gets completed.
Okay.
Thank you, Joe. And thank you. I think you touched on that in the beginning of the proposal. So thank you. I don't really have anything to add other than it was a great site visit. And I can't underscore the importance of the collaboration that's happening with the different jurisdictions up there, and really the benefit that it is having for the recreation or boating recreation community again. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I mean, we're seeing folks from not Colusa County, from the Bay Area all the way up Sacramento Valley, and this is where people are coming for multi-use benefits. I mean, there was disc golf, access to the reservoir, birding, and festivals. Yes. So, and then providing access for the youth high school athletics for trail runs. So again, just another great example that the staff has brought to us that amplifies the multi-use benefit of outdoor recreation in these rural communities that could really benefit from funding sources, like from the division, to help bolster these, you know, rural communities and, you know, grow the economy. And yeah. So with that, I want to motion. Yes.
Do you have a speaker on this item?
Oh, my apologies. Thanks, Catherine. Appreciate that. Yes, we do have a speaker before we go to vote here. I would like to welcome up Jonathan.
Check. Thank you, Madam Speaker. My only comment on this is there's no stipulation on the years of the or how long the average is for the years of the high and low of the water level. If we have historic lows, we build this ramp, looks like it's 80 feet long. We have a historic drought. Is it going to not be long enough to be in the water where people, we've spent all this money on this? I mean, we only have $500,000. It's a quarter of the money we have for any variance. If we have to add more to it, is that going to push us way too far over budget? It says a mean low, but it doesn't say how many years has that mean low taken over. Is that over the last 5 years, 10 years, since it's like they decided to start the plan in 78? I just want to make sure that if we're building this and we're going to use it for our communities, that it's going to be able to be used during the highs and during the lows. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. I will look to staff to maybe help us answer that.
Sure. So when we did the engineering designs, we go back and forth with the engineering and with the Bureau to look at these kinds of conditions. And I believe the Bureau has ensured us that the water level is pretty stable at this lake. Karen, did you want to add something or?
Yeah, I'd look to Calusa local folks to respond to the lake level, but typically the mean low is about 50 years of data, if we can get that long. At Calusa, the way it was designed is that the slope goes into a basin, which is generally available even in the highest droughts that we have seen recently. And the way that it's being constructed has been developed by DBW and Parks Boating Engineers, where they build it on the dry and they push it down so it doesn't, it can get as far down as the land will allow us to get down. And then we build in phases and just continue to push the slab down and then build on top. So this will be usable for as long as the location will allow, but I do believe that that there's a lot of control on the water level. Calusa, can you respond to that?
I did ask that question, okay. So I'll share. I was able to go back and see photographs from our great drought, and it went down 25 feet. It was pretty substantial. When I was out there, what they said was that was the lowest it had ever been, but they were state-controlled to allow it to go that low. When I had the conversation with the state park engineer, they said they were taking that into account, and they were doing compacting. And I was like, wow, how could you compact when it's submerged land? Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense, but I think they would just utilize the lowest time and just continue to move on it. I think that the land is very soft, and they told me they'd be doing a lot of compacting. So that's what I also asked that same question, because it is federal and state controlled. Sometimes they can't do anything about it when the state needs the water.
Yes, and Commissioner Pierre, I'd also like to speak to the variance that you had asked about. We are seeing construction bids come in significantly higher than our engineer's best estimate. For instance, the project that you saw here at Davies, Todd Leland just shared with me that their best we provided $6 million in grant funding, which included a variance to help offset any additional costs. Their lowest bid came at $14 million. Construction costs right now are extreme. So we want to move this East Park forward, and so we're trying to provide as much buffer and safeguards, as Joe mentioned, so that we are not stopped if the bid comes in higher than we expect. And any excess money that isn't used goes back to the fund for use on another project later.
Excellent. Thank you, Karen. I think with that, I want to ask for a motion. Okay. Okay. Karina, can we go ahead and do a roll call, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. At this time, I will take roll call vote for the vote on East Park Reservoir Boating Launch Facility. First, we'll go with Chair Catherine Hawkins.
Aye.
Vice Chair Tom Pierre.
Aye.
Commissioner Jose Gonzalez.
Aye.
And Commissioner Maggie Hallahan.
Aye.
Madam Chair, that's 4 ayes.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much, Karina.
You're welcome.
Okay, with that, just given the time and how that we've gotten ahead of schedule, I'm going to go ahead and close this for lunch.
Okay. And then I just want to remind folks that we have lunches down in the Seaview Ballroom, which is all the way down at the bottom level, and at the check-in, and then we will reconvene at 3:30. Okay, great, thank you. Welcome back, everyone. We're going to get started here, and we're going to do the division program reports, and I would like to welcome back Joe Dukes. Joe, take it.
Hi, can you hear me? Make sure my vocal is clear. Great, okay. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioners, everyone in attendance. My name is Joe Dukes, DBW staff. I am reporting updates on four grant programs. And Madam Chair, if it's good, I'll be going through all four programs and then have questions at the end of the presentation.
Sounds great. We'll hold questions to the end.
Perfect. Okay, the first program is the Boat Launching Facility Grant, which provides grants to local government agencies to develop or improve public boat launching facilities, primarily for motorized vessels. Next slide. On the slide is the program's budget for the past 3 years. As you see, DBW did not receive funding for the past 2 years. The budget process changed from a blanket budget in fiscal year 2022-23 to requesting funding for individual projects through the State Budget Change Proposal, BCP process. During the last application cycle, DBW received 7 boat launching facility applications, requesting approximately $16 million in funding. One project was funded through the Waterways Connection Initiative, WCI, and we will know in July 2025 if any of the other projects will be funded. The online application deadline for the fiscal year 2026-27 funding cycle is February 3rd, 2025. There are currently 12 boat launching facility projects in various stages of design and construction. 9 are Harbors and Watercraft Reform Fund funded, and 3 are WCI funded. Next slide. The WCI funding, as previously mentioned in the East Park presentation, was approved in fiscal year 2021-22 by SB 170 Budget Act. The goal of this funding is to expand water-related outdoor access to inland urban communities. Next slide. The 7 projects listed here were completed within the past 2 years. Additional details will be provided in the upcoming slides. Next slide. This is the boat launch ramp at Silver Lake in Inyo County. Next slide. The single lane boat launch ramp was deteriorated. Next slide. The parking area was cracked and there were no designated accessible vehicle trailer parking areas. Next slide. The 2 restroom buildings have been closed due to the unavailability of replacement parts. Next slide. The commission approved a $910,000 construction grant to the Inyo Forest Service that replaced the boat launch ramp. We located the boarding floats. Next slide. We habilitated the parking area. Next slide. And replaced the old restroom with a new vault restroom. Next slide. This is the completed project designs for the Stony Gorge Reservoir Boat Launching Facility project located in Glenn County. The Bureau of Reclamation completed the $150,000 planning grant to replace the boat launch ramp, install boarding float, parking areas, accessible traffic travels, and project signage. BOR did apply for construction funding for this project. Next slide. This is the completed project designs for the East Park Reservoir Boat Launching Facility project in Colusa County, just proposed to you in the previous presentation. This project will be funded with WCI money. Next slide.
This is the Rock. This is the completed project designs for the Rock Creek Lake boat launching facility in Inyo County. The Inyo Forest Service completed the $200,000 planning grant to replace the boat ramp, boarding float, restroom, and parking areas. Next slide. The commission subsequently approved a $1.5 million construction grant to construct the facility. The Forest Service recently started construction. Completion is anticipated for mid-2025. Next slide. This is the completed project designs for the Davies Boat Launching Facility located close to the harbor opening at Alamitos Bay. The City of Long Beach completed the $300,000 planning grant and was awarded a $6 million construction grant. The city is in the preliminary stages of soliciting bids to construct the facility. Next slide. This is the trailer boat launching facility at Port St. Louis. The wooden boarding floats reached the end of their useful life. The floats were accessed by a single gangway, and limited capacity on the floats caused long delays in launching and retrieving. Next slide. The commission approved a $442,000 grant to the Port St. Louis Harbor District. Next slide. That reconfigured and replaced the dilapidated boarding floats and gangway at the boating facility. Next slide. The restrooms at the 1st Street and 3rd Street waterfront boat launching facility at the City of Lakeport were at the end of their useful life. Next slide. They were over 30 years old and had become costly to maintain. Next slide. The commission approved a $135,000 grant to the City of Lakeport that replaced the restrooms. This is at the 1st Street boat launching facility. Next slide. And this is at the 3rd Street boat ramp. Next slide. Now, let's move on to the non-motorized boat launching facility grant program. This program provides grants to create or improve public non-motorized boating access. Next slide. As with the other boat launching facility local assistance program, DPW had not received funding for the past 2 years, and these projects must be submitted for funding through the BCP process. During the last application cycle, DPW received one non-motorized boat launching facility application requesting $480,000 in funding from the San Bernardino County Regional Parks, which was approved for $300,000 of WCI money to design and acquire permits for improvements to Lake Gregory's primary non-motorized boat launching facility. The online application deadline for fiscal year 2026-27 funding is February 3rd, 2025, and the WCI application deadline is December 2nd, 2024. We currently have two non-motorized boat launching facility projects. One is funded with the Harbors and Watercraft Revolving Fund money, and the other is Lake Gregory approved with WCI funding. Next slide. The five projects listed were completed within the past 2 years. Additional details are provided in the next upcoming slides. Next slides, please. This is the South I Street Boating Facility in Humboldt Bay. Next slide. The old boat ramp is no longer usable, but the city wanted to improve its non-motorized access. Next slide. The commission approved a $550,000 construction grant to the City of Arcata that developed a new non-motorized boating access to Humboldt Bay. Next slide. With accessible parking and path of travel. Next slide. This is the DS Lake in Inyo County. Next slide. The commission approved a $202,000 grant
to Inyo County that developed a new non-motorized boat launching facility at BS Lake. Next slide. And a boarding float with gangway access to the lake. Next slide. A former commissioner chair, Randy Shorts, who lives in the area, assisted the county in completing this project. Next slide. Sonoma County requested grant funding to develop a non-motorized boating access to the Russian River. Next slide. People who wanted to enjoy a day on the river had to access off the dirt area of the riverbank. Next slide. The commission approved a $650,000 grant to Sonoma County that developed the new Guerneville non-motorized boat launching facility on the Russian River. Next slide. The low freeboard wooden dock that extended into Lake Merced was deteriorated and unsafe. Next slide. The commission approved a $225,000 grant to the city of San Francisco that replaced the boarding float and gangway to the lake with non-motorized boating access. Next slide. And the city of Modesto requested a non-motorized boating access to the Tuolumne River. Next slide. The commission approved a $780,000 grant to the city of Modesto that developed the Tuolumne Riverfront Park non-motorized boat launching facility, which the commission toured during the February commission meeting. Next slide. Improvements to the facility includes a two-lane asphalt access road, parking, solar lighting, and information kiosk. Next slide. And a single-lane boat launch ramp. Next slide. Next is the Ramp Repair and Modification Grant Program. This program provides grants to quickly restore safe and convenient public boating access to facilities that have been damaged by unforeseen circumstances, such as storms, floods, droughts, forest fires, or unexpected lake drawdowns resulting from dam repairs, dam seismic safety concerns, or greater water releases for fish protection to protect fish habitat. Next slide. Here is the program's budget for the past 3 years. As with the boat launching facility grant program, DBWR had not received a budget allocation for the past 2 years. During the last application cycle, DBW received two applications, which requested approximately $339,000 in funding. One application was ineligible for this program, and the other was approved by the commission for a $280,000 grant to repair the launch ramp and boarding floats at the Middle Park Boat Launching Facility in Sacramento County. The online application deadline for fiscal year 2026-27 funding is also February 3rd, 2025. Next slide. And the last program is the Sign Grant Program that provides grants to install or replace boating facility signs that are missing, damaged, or inaccurate. There is no current budget allocation for this program, but we are accepting online applications for fiscal year 2026-27 funding now through February 3rd, 2025. Next slide. On the left is the worn out sign at Eureka Boat Launch Facility sign. And then on the right is the replacement sign. Next slide. This concludes my presentation. My contact information is provided on the slide. Madam Chair, are there any questions?
I want to look to the clerk. Do we have any green comment cards?
We do not have any public comments.
Okay, thank you. Is there any questions from my fellow commissioners? No, Maggie? Okay.
I've got
one. Okay. Commissioner Pierre?
So, I don't know if this is under this. Sorry. Yeah, here I am. I'm not sure this is under the current agenda item or not. What disturbs me about this grant process is that the commission is presented with these projects on an ad hoc basis, right? So we sort of are like, okay, we're going to spend $2 million here at East Park, or are we going to, and that's, we're up or down on that. And we never sort of are afforded, to my view, a larger picture of sort of the forward-looking. Thank you very much, Joe, for the retrospective view of all of these projects, right? So I get that. That's great. We do a lot of great grants and stuff like that. But I have a very hard time sort of understanding why we are sort of like up or down or this. Yeah, that's great, but we're not afforded the opportunity to understand how the $2 million to East Park balances with maybe someone down, you know, Imperial County, right? And so I guess what I'm asking staff and Joe to some degree, I don't know who's responsible, but it sure would be helpful to sort of understand all of the pending applications so that we can view them in balance, right? Instead of just like, okay, this is yes or no on this. Because I don't know in the abstract that if I would want to spend $2 million for East Park, if we could spend half of that for someplace in, I don't know, Mendocino County or someplace else. So I guess that's just kind of a general complaint I have after whatever it's been 3.5 years on the commission. Things are not viewed, are not presented in a larger context,
which
I think would be very helpful.
Commissioner Pierre, I'll just, so the East Park, unfortunately you weren't at the meeting or you weren't at the tour, and we voted on it. It was a great proposal brought by staff. They did a lot of hard work on it. I would say though, we do have in next meeting, we're gonna have all the dates and where the future commission meetings will be. I think that would be the opportunity to work with staff to understand like where the proposals will be, you know, moving forward for the calendar year.
Yeah, I just...
So it's an opportunity in February.
No, I appreciate that. It's just, it's not a, these cycles of the, and now of the, what Joe does, and he does a great job at what he does, and it's a 3 or 4 year process between doing the analysis and so forth. So that's great. I mean, it would just be nice to see the big picture. I never see it, but I'm not going to get argumentative with you. I'm not going to be argumentative with anyone else, but it's just, you know, we're just kind of up and down on different projects and never presented with a large picture. And here comes Karen.
I hope I can explain a little bit.
I know it's all budgetary cycles and everything like that. And that's cool.
So our, very exactly budgetary cycles. We are dependent. This program is a grant program. So we're dependent on applications coming in. So we're very, instead of being proactive and going out and saying, okay, we want to do this, this, and this, and this across the state, and then dictating to those agencies that they need to do this, we do go out and work with them to try and develop projects, we're dependent on them to submit an application. And then once they submit, so in each application cycle, we only get a number of, or a handful of applications that we then can send to our reviewers and scorers and then up to the now with the new process, the legislature. So each year we get this list of projects that we can then either move forward with or not. And this next budget cycle,
in July, if we get projects that are approved through the governor's budget, then they will be assigned per location to the commission to be voted on yes or no. So you don't get the opportunity as the commission or us as the department to say we want to do all of these things, but we're dependent on applications coming in to then look at those that have submitted.
Understood.
Okay.
So what I think would be helpful would be to know all of the applications mm-hmm. that have come in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of the pending applications, right? So those are kind of two different... As I understand it, right, application comes in. At some point, there's an administrative process that Joe goes out and he creates a whatever it's called, a preliminary study, and that's going to say it's going to cost $2 million, right? Mm-hmm. I don't feel, maybe my fellow commissioners disagree with me, that we're not involved in that process. It would be very nice to, thank you, Joe, I'm going to say it again, for the retrospect on all of the good work that the boat division has done. It'd be very nice to have a forward perspective on all potential pending projects that we can balance these things, right?
So
I never feel like I get to balance it. It's like, okay, well.
But that's not our jurisdiction, unfortunately. You know, and that's why we lean on our talented staff and the that do this day in and day out. So that's why we trust them, and you know, we served here to support them and serve the mission.
Anyways, I'm not here to support staff. I'm here to represent the boating public. But I don't want to get in an argument. But the point do you understand my point?
I do. So when we get the next budget, it will identify a blanket amount, or it may identify particular projects that were approved through the state budget cycle.
Okay.
So I'm not sure how it's actually going to show up in the state budget.
Yeah.
Historically, it's been one or the other. So this next year, they may be named, the projects may be named in the budget. And those are the ones that we can't add to that. Those are the ones that will be coming to the commission for your decision, yes or no.
Okay.
So it's if it's a lump sum, then we will tell you how that lump sum was identified, and what we have done in the past, since we haven't had funding the last few years, we haven't done it. But our practice is when the budget comes out, then we assign the projects and to the different commission meetings with the estimated dollar amount, and we give that out after each budget is established, so that you'll see it in broad. You just haven't had it the last couple of years because we haven't had new money.
Okay. So, okay. I think I got it.
Okay.
I think we do.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, moving forward, when the state starts budgeting funds for various projects, this commission will understand what that allocation is broadly, right? And then we will be able to understand better which projects in the context of other projects that we might be able to approve. No, got it wrong.
Sorry, Commissioner Beer. So the grant process is a competitive process, and it's confidential during that process. So during the, because it's a competitive process, it's our grant potential, well, our applicants are not shared. I mean, we don't share prior to us granting or proposing a grant to present to you, to the commission. Yeah, and it's set in their criteria.
Okay. So do we have an action item coming out of my comments? No.
So might I add, Liz Mederick with State Parks. So as Deputy Director Fernandez said, it's a competitive grant process. So we are required to keep applications confidential. And then based on the criteria, when the division staff selects a grant, then that's made public and we come to you for your recommendation. I think what I'm hearing is that we need more clarity on what those criteria are and how we're making these selections so that you know what types of applications we receive, you know, where maybe where from the state people are applying from, and then what criteria we use to make those recommendations to you all. So I think we can definitely provide better clarity around that in the process without sharing confidential applications.
And it is on our website.
Yeah.
That information is on our website.
Okay.
Yeah. May I add one more thing? I've been counsel to commissions now for 30 years. And a lot of the grant programs started out with the commissions making selections about what projects were funded. And basically that did not work. So what we got was we got commission members being lobbied, basically, you know, coming in with their favorite project when a lot of times they wouldn't even meet the criteria that staff had set out. So what was changed, both with the other commission that I worked with and with both of our OHV's commissions and this commission, is you set the criteria. You don't pick the projects, but you set the criteria for what kind of projects can be funded. And so as I understand it, we haven't really been at that stage for a while, but you're not going to be able to choose the projects because that just did not work. So the commission set the criteria, staff applies the criteria to the applications that they've gotten, and then staff basically chooses it and comes back to you to approve it. So the key part for the commission is basically looking at the criteria. Now, I don't know, you know, at what point we do that.
I've never reviewed any criteria for any grant ever.
There's a reason for that.
The commission approved the criteria when we did a real huge overhaul on that program about 10 years ago, and we brought the criteria and the scoring to the commission at that time, and the commission approved it. And there has been no guidance or direction to change that until now. So if the commission chooses to do that in the future, then we can look at that.
Okay, so how does the commission choose to do something like that?
You would put it on the... I think we have a section coming up in the meeting that you can say, hey, I'd like to add this to an agenda item. And then we can give you the criteria, and at that point, you can discuss it at a future meeting.
Okay, great. Thanks, everyone. I don't mean to be a troublemaker. Yeah. I just want to make sure that we're doing the things we need to do to represent the parties that have stakes in all of this.
Commissioner Hallahan.
Before we go forward, Madam Chair, I'd like to express a concern with the technical sounding. I heard from many sources that they're having difficulty hearing the commission.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and take a short break, be back in 5 minutes.
All right, welcome back, everyone. I wanted to thank Joe for his presentation and fielding those questions, and staff as well. I think now we'll move on to, I apologize, Commissioner Hallahan.
Just before the technical problem happened, I was going to speak, remember? Would that be okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Karen. I'm going to ask grants and loans to come up. Karen, who's just does a spectacular job. So when I was trying to understand the East Park Reservoir development, I was trying to understand the history of how things developed, and you got me a great meeting, Zoom meeting with your engineer developer, and I understood a lot more and was able to ask you a lot of questions about criteria, and you answered that, because part of my problem was that I could see people swimming, actually getting in small boats and swimming at this ramp area. And I was like looking at how it could be developed, you know, for multiple uses in the one spot. And I was trying to understand how the criteria have gotten so separated, you know, into separate spaces. So when you spoke with me, I learned something new that was very surprising, which was how much work it is for every county or park to develop the will to do anything. Mm-hmm. And how you have to go around and ask people if they have the will to develop something, and these are the hurdles you have to get over, and that you seem like you handhold those people really well, and the criteria is online. So I went through and read that. I also would like to see how developments are filtered and who, you know, how the money is given. I also, I'm interested in how they develop those criteria, not just like why they are, but why they develop them, like the reasons behind, you know, the development. So I thought you did a really great job. And how would you think would be a best way to educate us or me about the criteria and how they were developed?
We could sit down in a private meeting or a public meeting at a commission meeting, and I can walk through the criteria and the reasons why. I mean, it depends there's nothing hidden. It's just the mechanism for sharing this information with you that.
Okay. I would like to, we'll further that about how I can communicate that with you more.
Another option would be a workshop.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Commission workshop. I'm the new commissioner, so I'm just really trying to figure out how the decisions are being made and how the criteria were set.
Yeah, if you all want to do a deep dive, we'd be happy to do a workshop at a future commission meeting.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Wonderful. Good. Okay, let's move on to agenda item number 10, and that's going to be administrative items. The first item we have here is we good? Yeah, okay. The first item we have here is the chair to establish the nomination committee, and so I will work on that, and we'll be able to table that at our first meeting of the year on February 5th and 6th. 5th will be the tour, and the 6th will be the meeting.
I think, Chair, you meant that we will take it up at the next meeting.
Take it up at the next meeting. Apologies, yes. Yeah, thank you.
I don't want to be out of order. Are we moving on to B? I don't want to, if I'm not recognized, but I would like to, I don't understand what it means, established nomination committee. Who are we nominating for what? New members? Officers? I don't understand what that means, but... If I'm out of order, someone tell me.
No, it's similar to the years that we've done it before, is that we nominate a chair and vice chair for the following year, for 2025.
So, Commissioner, the way it works is that the chair appoints a nomination, either chair or a committee, whatever she wants to do. That committee basically works on, you know, who's moving up or who is going to be the next chair and vice chair. And then that's brought back to the commission. And it's like a slate. There's also the opportunity to nominate from the floor. So, and then if you vote on the slate, then it's just an up or down vote. And if there are people nominated from the floor to run against the slate, then it's a secret ballot. Is that what you want to know?
Well, it is what I wanted to know, but I don't really understand what you just said, but that's all fine and dandy. So that's gonna take place on the 5th and 6th.
Correct.
Chair is going to establish a nomination committee, and then after that committee has been established, then we'll have a vote on May 7th and 8th.
Correct.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on, we have our commission meeting dates for 2025 set out. That'll be February 5th and 6th, May 7th and 8th, August 6th and 7th, November 5th and 6th, and then the locations are to be determined. So we'll be able to set that up as soon as we have that information from staff. Okay. Moving on. Commission to discuss suggested agenda items for the next meeting. And so I'll look to my fellow commissioners for some agenda items. Commissioner Hallinan.
Hello, everyone. This has been a great meeting. Thank you so much, Chair Hawkins. In our last meeting in October 1st in Colusa, California, we had a public comment and question from our industry partner, Bo Billard, on the if the Department of Boating and Water, the Division of Boating and Waterways, used the document that they helped develop called Alternative Funding Subcommittee Draft Recommendations, October 11, 2022. And I accepted to get the email and follow up on that since we I accepted to do that. And what happened was I was able to have several conversations with Jerry Desmond and Bo Billard. And I got a letter that was written on July 14th, 2022 from the partners of California Boating and Waterways. I'm going to name them just because I want to give appreciation for the work that they did in 2022 and the work that they want to help this commission and the division do the best work they can. So I'm going to call out these six groups that worked very hard on this document, which I read. California Yacht Brokers Association, Marine Recreation Association, National Marine Manufacturer Association, Pacific Interclub Yacht Association, Recreation Boaters of California, and the Southern California Yachting Association. This letter was to Director Quarantino, California State Park, and the Deputy Director Ramona Fernandez, the Division of Boating and Waterways. In this letter, the number one suggestion that they had was a comprehensive report on the economic impact and recreational boating in California. I did some research on that, and the state is so huge. We have such a big state. It could cost over $1 million to do another report. So what I'm suggesting to you, Chair Hawkins, is that we create an initial data analysis, taking the last report, which is called the Economic Impact of Boating in California Report, that was from July 1st, 1997, and it was done by the Public Research Institute, San Francisco State University and Planning, and the Applied Economics of Berkeley, California. This report, which I read and I received from the division, was excellent chapter layouts, the tables, and the industry inventory, boating impact on employment, boating industry, was very interesting and had an important bottom line. Though that was 1997, it does have really good data, columns, what's important. And so I'm suggesting that we create an ad hoc, a temporary ad hoc group that would just do a sketch out of an initial data analysis of what in, if we created a list from the 97 report, what numbers are already known numbers, and then what numbers aren't known. And at least this would be an initial step to start looking at it as an as not as a final report or anything like that, but just a sketch, a beginning. And I'd like to do it with another commissioner and with our stakeholders, and have Deputy Director Fernandez, you know, choose who those stakeholders are, and then just work on this until the end of June 2025. And then return the information over to the commission. Would that be acceptable, Chair Hawkins?
Yeah. Chair Hawkins, may I just kind of describe how this is going to work? So since we don't do this all the time, but I think we're going to do it more. So the commission is going to suggest to you the items. You can decide as a chair which ones you want to take up, whether you want to take them up immediately, whether you want to take them up, you know, 6 months or whatever. You can also decide whether they'll be taken up by an ad hoc committee or by a commissioner by themselves. Then you're going to tell the deputy director, here's what I'd like to see, and the deputy director will work with you on that. If you say, for example, no, Commissioner Hallahan, I don't want to do that. That's just too much, you know, I don't think that's what the commission is here to do or whatever. Then Commissioner Hallahan has the ability to make a motion, as does anybody, to get that in front of the commission so that they can basically say to the chair, you know, you might not want to hear it, but the rest of the commission does, and then it would be a majority. So I just want to kind of make that clear, so you're all suggesting things, how that works. Any questions on that procedure?
Well, as always, so what is that? Does she make a, the chair makes a, she's made a suggested agenda item, mm-hmm. and then she's going to say one way or the other on mm-hmm. it now, and then what's, so then, she says no, then do we, she makes a motion?
Correct.
And she we needs just a do this right now?
She needs a, yes, okay, and she needs it. A second to do that, and then the chair will say, let's vote and on that, and then I'll be
Thank
the
you
decision.
For the clarification.
Okay.
Commissioner Hallahan, I really appreciate your leadership in wanting to take this on an ad hoc personal time. And this has been something that we've heard from the community. And so, again, I appreciate you stepping in and using the resources that you have and bringing this forward. And so I just want to say we can put this on the agenda in May for the May meeting. I'm looking to staff to go, yeah. Is that okay? Yeah. And so, yeah, for the record, yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, so for a future meeting then?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure. Thank you. And then do I need, Liz?
Just a point of clarification. So we're putting on the agenda for the next meeting a report from staff on this,
no.
or just for my, sorry, I'm probably just not.
No, I apologize. It'll back, Commissioner Hallahan is going to lead on her own time an ad hoc committee to review the last report for the economic impact for California boating from 1997, and she is just going to organize the material and do a personal analysis of what's missing and the opportunities, correct?
We have a choice here. You could let me have another commissioner, and we could make an official ad hoc mm-hmm. group. And then I'd like to utilize the stakeholders, the ones in which I just read, or others, that whoever the Deputy Director Fernandez thinks should work with me on it. It won't take money from the division. And we'll just see what numbers are already available from the state and from the different stakeholders, and then put together a column of known numbers and a column of unknown numbers, and then bring it back to the commission in the summer. But at this point, you could just let me go forward with an ad hoc with another commissioner, and it's not going to cost the division any money or time.
And this is what we had discussed, but I just want to look to Liz to see if she has any questions or concerns.
No, thank you very much for the clarification. So we would move forward with the agenda item would be either the May or the August meeting where you'd be coming back from your ad hoc work to present to the commission.
I think what okay. she was clarifying is which meeting I'd come back to
yeah.
with it.
Yeah.
And I think it would be August.
Okay.
But at this point, I think what she, and Chair, if you could clarify, I would like to have another commissioner weigh in on it, and therefore it would be called an ad hoc instead of just an individual commissioner. And would that be okay with you? And could I suggest which commissioner, because they already have history in this area, could do it with me?
Just.
Yes, Madam Chair, you can establish yeah. an ad hoc committee
okay.
if you'd like to.
Wonderful. Council, we're good then?
Yes. You are.
Okay. Yes, and we can do that. And so move forward with your ad hoc, and then we will come back to see what meeting your findings will be presented at.
May I ask Commissioner Peer to be on the ad hoc with me?
Absolutely.
Commissioner Peer, it won't take a lot of your time, but I'd really like to have your advice and input on developing this initial analysis to help further down the road a proper impact report.
It would be my pleasure, and I will not enumerate the other things that are on my particular plate right now. So yes, it would be my pleasure to do that.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Peer.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Commissioner Hallahan, for taking the lead on that. Really appreciate it.
I wanted to, again, address there was another agenda item from Commissioner Peer.
Yes, and so this would fall under grants, and if and with the indulgence of and great help of counsel, I guess the discussion item would be to have staff provide, here's what I'm trying to get to. Let me think if I can figure this out, maybe Catherine, you can help me. What I'm trying to get to is to basically try to triage the various grant proposals or grant applications that come through within a particular budget cycle for these matters. Did I articulate that correctly based on my prior comments, or did I botch that? So that would come, yeah, like, pardon me, please.
Yeah, so I think given that we have some relatively new commissioners, and it's also good as someone for a refresher that we make time for at a future meeting for a workshop and give staff, I would look to staff to see what that timing is, because that is resources and making sure that we're doing the job. And also Deputy Director Fernandez, yes. And so I would look to you when that date could be, but I agree. It would be beneficial for us all and any other new commissioners that come on, that we have a meeting and we have a forum where we can answer and have questions. Commissioner Gonzalez?
Thank you, Chair. And I think, I know since we're on, the item is agenda items for the next meeting, and so I'm not proposing something specifically for the next meeting, but I think aligned to some of the comments for me that would be helpful would be for something for a workshop, you know, what's appropriate within a pretty broad scope. That would be helpful, for example, if we have new commissioners, as well as to complement that with anything that doesn't have to be a public meeting or workshop, but that can be supportive, as Karen mentioned, one-on-one. So I just want to, as I'm thinking all of that out loud, to make sure that it's as supportive and helpful as possible, while also making sure we have clarity as to what's going on next meeting versus future meeting, and schedule that accordingly.
So normally this kind of issue is a workshop first, with the basic, the idea to get everybody on the same page so that the commission understands that the staff has the ability to basically lay out, you know, how they work this. And then once you've had a workshop, then you can work, you know, if there's something else you want to do, another, you have a recommendation or something like that, then you can schedule that. So what we want you to do is kind of be informed first, and that everybody, you know, from the senior people to the junior people, all have kind of the same understanding. So it's a workshop.
Excellent. Is there any further comments?
Yeah, I want to go back. I don't know, do we have a secretary for this? So what exactly is, I got a little confused here. What exactly is my proposed agenda item? How did this translate between the various parties that were talking? The proposed agenda item is for what date and what am I asking for? And I can run through the whole thing again if you guys want me too, but I'd like to know, like, next time I show up here under grants, there's going to be something that says, okay, we're going to create a workshop, or we're going to, do you want me to run through it again, or?
No.
Please. You guys understand my problem here,
yes,
right?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Let's
not a problem. It's not my problem, because I care about the grants, except that I understand that we make grants, and I want to understand all of them in relation to every other grant that we propose within the budgetary cycle that Ms. Dill placed for us. So that's my issue, right?
Okay, I think I understand your issue, and I think that the deputy director understands your issue, and I think the chair understands your issue. I was thinking that maybe Karen could come forward and just kind of summarize. I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you could basically, you know, just talk about how you see an agenda item coming forward that covers Commissioner Peer's concerns.
You always put me on the spot, so I don't have any problem putting you on the spot.
So how I would see this is that you would request a workshop to go over the grant criteria and the history behind why that criteria is as it is.
Okay.
Would that work?
Our next agenda item is going to be to create a workshop, and then we'll set out the boundaries of that workshop, and then we'll hear it on the next commission meeting once the workshop creates a product. Is that what I'm hearing?
So, Commissioner Peer, what I would suggest to the commission is that the February meeting, that we tour, the first day would be workshop, and then second day would be our public meeting. So in part of that workshop, we will have an agenda, send it out to the commission, and make sure that we're hitting all the topics that you want us to go through during that workshop time.
Okay. Yeah. The workshop is a term of art that I don't understand, so that's fine. Yeah, it's like what? It's a non...
I was just going to address that. I could see that was a concern. So the workshop is less formal. We don't have to have quite the, you know, motions or, you know, we can sit around a round table as opposed to, you know, people on the podium and staff over here. So we can all basically sit around. We can break into groups. You know, we can have one presentation, put you into groups with the public who shows up. It's just a less formal way of taking up an issue so that people are a little bit more relaxed. You know, it's not so hard to ask questions and things like that. Yeah. Does that
so
help?
There's no Brown Act concerns there with a quorum or anything? We just show up and...
Well, that's why it's labeled as a workshop, is because we're not going to be taking actions.
Got it. So, all right. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Sure. Thank you. Sorry I'm being difficult today, but you've answered all my questions, and I appreciate your indulgence.
Okay. Okay, real quick, Commissioner Gonzalez and then Commissioner Hallahan. Yes, please.
Just a quick clarity. So as I heard the deputy director say, I would advise the commission that that is something we're agreeing to, so that there's clarity around that.
Commissioner Hallahan.
I would like to say that I am a Sea Scout leader, and we have all these youth that are 18, 19 that are going for the quartermaster, and part of what they do is they need to present to a public group what the Sea Scouts are. And I was wondering if on the next agenda we could afford 5 minutes to 7 minutes for a youth to come in their dress blues and explain the educational leadership process of the Sea Scouts as an agenda item for our next meeting.
Yes, I heard from council. I think I like the agenda item, and I appreciate you bringing that forward. I think we want to figure out where the meeting locations will be, given if we do have one in the Bay Area. It'd be great to maximize that opportunity.
There's several thousand Sea Scouts all over California, and we can have it at any one.
Okay. Wonderful. So... for right now, I don't know if we have that meeting identified or if we need to figure that out right now.
Chair, if the commission likes, we could add that to the February agenda, if that works for you all.
Just look to the commission. Yes, that would be an acceptable agenda item for the February meeting. Okay, absolutely. Thank you again for bringing that. All right, we're not done yet because Jerry Desmond.
Oh,
I see you.
Wait, Jerry, I think you're out of order. I think public comment went. Sorry.
Jerry Desmond with Recreational Boaters of California. On the items being discussed for placement on the agenda, just a couple of perspectives. And first, to appreciate the effort that's behind, the interest that's behind advancing boating and on-the-water opportunities that is really the crux of what you're trying to accomplish. And so we appreciate that. And then second, that we believe the statutory charter of the commission is to advise the division on all matters within its jurisdiction. So we appreciate the value of looking into issues such as what are the criteria for deciding on decisions for money to be loaned or granted for anything. And in the process, once the legislature adopts a budget by July 1 next year, which would be right around July 1 next year, we think the division will be well-placed to provide to the commission the buckets of money for each item. And so you should be able to have that information, and the public and the division, and say, okay, we see there's $2 million for this grant, kind of grant, and so this is going to be $1 million out of the $2 million. You'll at least be able to look at that and see where the priorities are, because there are expectations and estimates that go behind those numbers when they're in the budget. And then in terms of the economic impact study, I know that in support of the motion being, or the decision being made here and the decision of the department, we know the stakeholders all have an interest. The ones, and more than what Commissioner Hallerhan mentioned, are very interested in adding whatever value we can to develop that roadmap of what an economic impact study ought to address. Are there new things that should be added based on our Outdoors for All and getting on the water experiences in underprivileged communities? Are there others that could be added so that it can launch in a way that's got buy-in? And that's an important component of that whole stakeholder process. So thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. And again, we will look to the commission and the work and the leadership that is being brought forward from this meeting into our future meetings. And then would definitely love to explore the economic impact study. This has been something that I think we've all agreed on. However, to look at different industries and how they're funding that and where that comes from, and private partnership, and if there is public funds available, that is that is another pathway to get this over the finish line. But I do agree. Quoting information from 1997 doesn't seem as relevant, but I appreciate the leadership in digging in. So again, thank you, Maggie. with that, we're ahead of schedule. And if there's no other comments or feedback, I'd like to motion that we adjourn the meeting.
I'll move to make that motion.
Second?
Second the motion.
Okay, great, thank you.